Welcome to the 8 Weeks to Chat podcast, where we take you from the lowest of lows and bring you to the highest of highs. I am your host, Nick, and I'm here with my esteemed partner, Joe. Let's crack right into it. What is up? Welcome back to the 8 Weeks to Chat podcast.
You're not going to tell me the topic?
Not yet. So this is the 8 Week to Chad podcast. I'm here with Joe Spark, and we are chilling out at Calm Cafe in Hanoi. So today, I haven't told Joe this topic yet, but we're going to be talking about the secret lives of women. The things that women do or fantasize about that they don't necessarily admit to in polite company or just with any guy. So Joe, how are you today?
Very well.
Good. So what do you think of this topic?
I like it.
Awesome.
It's a very good topic.
Yeah. And it's a good topic because it's educational. First off, it's educational. The audience gets to learn about the things that women do that might be not risque, just their hidden side, secret fantasies. So it's a good opportunity for the audience to learn about those secret fantasies. More importantly, it's a great opportunity for us to brag.
Yeah,
we can talk about all the things we've got girls to do. So let's get right into it. So secret lives of women. I guess there's a lot of pressure on girls to act a certain way, and I'm certainly guilty of this too. Like, I'm not gonna celebrate the fact that a girl's getting like been fucked by like 50 dudes, and I'm not the sort of guy who's like, I don't really care, but I'm neither rah, go ahead and go girl sort of thing, nor am I gonna like be the person who's gonna turn into like a tradcon champion of traditional morality. So with that in mind, I guess let's crack on into it. What do you think about the secret lives of women?
Well, this is where to start? Jesus. I mean, okay, so first thing I want to say is that,
I guess let's start like this. When did you first realize that there was this disparity between what women said they liked and what women actually like?
Are you telling me that women don't?
They don't want a gentleman who messages them every morning. Good morning, I love you. That's the secret to a good relationship. Is every morning
you buy them flowers.
You need to message them, I love you. Good morning. If you don't do that, you're gonna break up. All right, but
So the big moment for me probably, being a club promoter.
Okay.
Being a club promoter, spending all that time with women. But I'm not talking about Jenny, the 7 and the 8. I'm talking about the model. Let me say, I'm not saying all women are the same. There are some things that you can really bet on.
Okay.
And that you can really put your money on. And I'll try and give them in this podcast. I'll try and give you my experience. But there's definitely... There are some amazing books on this you can read. Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. That's a good book. It's a good book. It gives you a good insight into how different women think from men. And that's definitely the first moment for me was definitely seeing, I would say probably the sort of way that women are treated in these restaurants and how they were used as a commodity. So beautiful women in nightclubs in London are used as a commodity. It's literally... Get hot woman in, and that's the reality they're living in. They're being paid to have these meals. They get paid to go to the club. I have to pay. They get paid. You know, this is the difference. So that was a big moment for me to realize, hang on, things aren't quite what they seem. How women feel about that, and how they actually, there's a lot to this. That was probably the big moment that made me think that definitely women are seeing things differently. Then Facebook. So I was dating a girl. I was dating this half Russian, half Swedish girl. Jeez. And she left her Facebook open on my laptop. And I checked, it was a long time ago, I checked her messages and it was just guy, like, hi, how are you? And then I realized like the sort of options that she had compared to what I have. But they, you know, it wasn't like one thing. I'd say definitely it was like a series of events that after a while you realize we're living in very different realities. What was your moment? What do you think?
Well, for me, it was my first inkling was I used to work at this restaurant, and it was like a restaurant and a dance hall and like community space, but it was very left-wing focused. So the girls who work there, they're all like quote-unquote feminists. A lot of them had like hairy armpits, the whole fucking nine yards, man.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The character of a fucking feminist. Okay, so all these quote-unquote strong feminist women work there. At the same time, at this restaurant, there was ballroom dancing. So like swing dancing, tango dancing, things like that. And if you've ever tango danced or a swing dance, you know that there's a lead and there's a follow. Now, it doesn't matter who's the lead and who's the follow. The man could be the lead, the woman could be the follow, or vice versa. Usually it is the man that's the lead. But what I noticed was that these strong feminist women, even though they would talk about how like strong and empowered they were, and girl power, rah, 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 they absolutely like loved to go to these dance classes and be the follow and have some strong, tall man like lead them around the dance floor. And you could just see in their face how much they loved
craved
it.
They craved it.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like on a deep, like almost spiritual level, they're just so into it.
Yeah.
And I just kind of put two and two. And you know, I mean, I'd see like occasionally a girl, like if you're really, really into partner dancing, ballroom dancing, you'll learn both, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, If you are so into like swing dancing that you do it three or four nights a week, you're gonna learn to follow and you're gonna learn to lead. Especially if you're a girl, like it's just good to know. But generally speaking, these girls would just love to like be led around this dance floor, and they would just get so into it. And I just put two and two together. I was like, okay, they say they like this thing, you know, they say they like to have all the power in the relationship, or they say they like equality, but in reality, like on an emotional level, like as I can see, they really like to be led around this dance floor to kind of surrender control. And I would argue like most women do. I would say, and that was right about the time that 50 Shades of Grey came out. So I'm like reading 50 Shades of Grey, and I'm like,
of course, looking at these
feminist women, like doing their, like saying they like one thing, obviously liking another thing. And that's kind of when I started putting two and two together that really women like, they like to be submitted. They like to submit to a strong, dominant man. They like to submit to a man who they believe deserves it.
Yeah.
I guess is how I would say it. So that was my first inkling that women had this secret life that they weren't necessarily admitting to, that not everybody was privy to.
Yeah, that book definitely was a big... I think that was for society, wasn't it? It's like one of the best-selling books of all time.
Mm.
And it just tapped into that raw, unconscious desire. And it's just such a badly written book. You know,
it's a terrible book.
It's just one of those... Yeah, it's just... Oh, man. And you know, it's just one of those things where you go, okay, so things really aren't what they seem. But it's interesting that you said about the feminists, because... You know, there's definitely a, like they're really forcing this equality of what they want. Well, it's not equality, is it? It's definitely like they want power. But especially this new wave feminism. I'm not talking about 1940s, 50s feminism. I'm talking about this new wave feminism. But in the safe context of ballroom dancing, they can then be like, okay, it's ballroom dancing. You know, that's the boundary. And within that context, they can be like, okay, yeah, well, he's leading me, so he's a ballroom dancer, so I can just forget all of that feminism bullshit. So it actually comes out in that instance that there's nothing they can do, even in that situation. So it's like a safety net for them.
Yeah.
You
know, like, but deep down, it's the same.
Like, there's nothing they can do. There's no rewiring the need for them to be protected. There's no rewiring that. There's nothing, you know, millions of years of evolution.
Mm.
And that's the way it is. Like, it's not saying that it's wrong or saying that men have, you know, there's so many strengths that women have. Let's just leave it like that, right? You don't need to be stronger. You don't need to be better. It's causing a lot of problems.
Yeah. And I think, well, kind of taking this back to like the topic, I think a lot of this where this comes out is like sexual fantasies too,
yeah,
because women are pressured to appear this certain way.
Yeah.
And you know, girls like sex too, obviously. I think the one of the moments that turned that switch for me, even younger, before I worked at that restaurant, I was backpacking through Europe and I stayed at this hostel and ended up hooking up with this girl. And I asked her at some point, I don't know what I asked, but she had to have been like 18, 19, super young, beautiful girl. But she told me she had once hooked up with a guy who was like 35. And at the time I was like 18 and I was just I was kind of like, I didn't like outwardly react, but I was like, wow, that's fucking weird, man. Like this 18 year old girl hooked up with like a 35 year old. Like that seems like a huge age disparity to me. And now, like, obviously, if you've read my stuff, like, I'm kind of that guy. I'm, like, the 35-year-old.
Yeah,
like,
you're the guy that tells... Yeah, yeah, you, like, guys that are, like, 18 hear about you, and they're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So now I'm that guy. Whereas before, like, I didn't realize that that was actually a pretty normal thing. Like, most 20-year-old, 22-year-old girls, they've had at least one experience where they've hooked up with a guy who was significantly older. And that's just how it is. Women enjoy that sort of thing. Let's see. So that was.
Well, that reminds me because I was 23 years old, and I met this Italian girl, and she told me, I was like, who's the oldest guy you've been with?
Mm.
She's like 55.
Fuck.
And I was like, I just couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
I didn't really know what to do with that. I was just like,
yeah,
okay.
Exactly. And you know what I've started doing recently is instead of like asking girls about the craziest thing they've done, I've started asking about their friends.
Ah, okay, yeah.
So I'm
that's
like,
clever,
I'm
yeah.
like, yeah. So what's the, you know, what are some things that your friends have told you that they've done that you think are really crazy or that you want to try or that you've never tried before? And I'll find out some weird shit that way. Like, you know, I'm like dating this girl who's like, I don't know, like 21 right now. She has a really hot friend. I've been like trying to seed the idea of a threesome. But I guess the really hot friend has been going out with this guy, this other guy for a while. And I just randomly was like, well, how old is her boyfriend? She's like 38.
Oh,
so
man.
I'm like, even nice. Fucking older than me. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, and so, but it's just such, it's, the reality of it is, it's like such a normal thing, but girls don't talk about it because they don't want to be shamed by fucking chody fucking dudes. They
yeah,
don't
yeah.
want like, but, well, here's what they don't want. Right now, women have this situation where, like, every beta white knight is orbiting them and pedestalizing them. So what women don't want is they don't want to destroy that situation.
Yeah.
They don't want, women don't want to admit to the things they do because that will make it so that these beta white knights shame them and stop idolizing them.
Yeah,
and they don't
want
to lose
yeah,
that attention.
Yeah.
So it's just much easier just to not mention it, to lie about it, to pretend to be... an innocent girl, it's just so much easier for them. And that's what they do. I mean, I would do it too, probably. Yes.
Yes, and then the whole shaming from other women as well, that's a big one. I mean, that's conditioned at school, isn't it? Like, that's just drummed into girls like, early. Now, especially with social media, you know, like that makes it like 10 times harder.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because they're just going to get shamed online. You know, it's even more. But that that's so true, like, you find out that they like older guys and you're like, what the fuck? Like that. But then you try it and it all starts to paint this picture. I wouldn't say it's just one thing. It's you start to get a picture of it. You start to dimensionalize it. You start to understand that there's a lot more going on than you realize. Definitely this masculine, feminine polarity. You start to understand that a lot more and what really is going on and what really women are attracted to rather than what you're conditioned to believe, like status. Like looks and money. It's like, yeah, okay, but what really is going on here? Like, what is really affecting these women? And that's it. You know,
see,
you start to actually go a lot deeper on it, and you start to have references. That, whereas you go out before and you just see good looking guy with good looking girl, and then after a while you're like, hang on, what the fuck? How did he get her? And you speak to him, and he's this fucking dude. Like, he's a strong guy. He's just like fucking slapping her ass and like being a fucking dick to her. But the thing is, I had a unique experience because I was learning game, I was a club promoter, and I was also working in a pub. So I used to see these guys come in and hit on girls, and I had all these reference experiences of what was working in my life, but I also had all these reference experiences for like seeing dudes come in and seeing the start of their night to the end of the night, and seeing which guy I would see the guy come in and I'd be like, okay, he's going home with a girl. And I just got really good at it. I used to play a game with it. I'd be like, yeah, okay, this is the guy. And he would always be the guy that was like, didn't take himself very seriously, was never necessarily that good looking, sometimes a bit fat, just a fucking alpha. And that would be that guy that would be like teasing the girl. Mm. After a while, you know, I was just like, okay, this is the way it is now. And then you start adopting that. And then I incorporated that into like my game. I'd go out and be a complete dick to the hottest women, and it would work.
Yeah, especially with hot women. Like, they're so used to, they're so used to people treating them like angels that a guy comes along who doesn't, and it's so different for them that they can't help but take notice.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I took it too far because I would go to like these fucking high-end nightclubs where it would just be beautiful women, and I'd just be going around like every girl like, fuck you, like just being so obnoxious.
Okay.
And, you know, it polarized a lot of my friends because they were like, you just gotta stop it because you're just gonna get us kicked out. But the thing is, I knew it worked. So I was like, I don't care. Like, as long as I don't go too far. And like every now and then I'd pull like a really hot girl. So I was like, okay, so, you know, it wasn't me. I was really pushing myself. I was really like extending it. It wasn't sustainable anyway, but it gave me a lot of reference for what was actually working. But, you know, like I said, it wasn't me at the time, so I just couldn't sustain that. I was just putting on this act. Mm. But it really gave me an insight into, like, okay, being nice just doesn't fucking work. Like, I had to, like, level it out, obviously. But, yeah, that was it, probably.
Okay. Yeah.
But talking about, like, secrets. So let's talk about, like, secret. What secret fantasies and stuff. So I recommend a book called Her Secret Garden by Nancy Friday.
My Secret Garden.
My Secret Garden, yeah. That's a fucking good book.
Yeah, I still haven't read that one. I've heard good things about it.
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane.
Sex God Method is another kind of classic one. Daniel Rose, I want to say.
Yeah, I've not read that. Yeah, I've heard about that.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And also, I would say just getting feedback from girls themselves. Like, and that's a great way to establish yourself as that sort of guy anyways. If you go into the day two or the first date, and within 5 minutes, you're already asking her, like, if she's ever kissed a girl, like, if she's, like, the type of person who bites people whenever she kisses them. Like, things like that. If you start probing a little bit, you don't want to, you know, you don't want to ask her if she's ever had anal sex, like, within the first 2 minutes on, well, maybe you do. Maybe you do, actually. Within the first 2 minutes of a first date.
Yeah, it depends. Depends what girl that is.
You might try it and see how that might actually work out. It's probably better than asking her what she does for a living, honestly.
That's novelty, right?
But whenever you probe for those things, you kind of set yourself apart from the other guys, and you make it seem like what Tom Turo calls it, like the secret society. You're part of the secret society. You're part of one of the guys who gets it, who doesn't slut shame women.
Yeah, that's it. That's a big point you've made there, like, if you're the guy that gets it, then she feels a lot more safe and a lot more. Because the thing is, guys that try and play around it, they're the ones that are like, you know, they're the ones that are giving to get. It's always that contract. It's like that classic nice guy contract. It's like, I've done all these things for you, now stick with me. Well, you know, and it's so repulsive to them. It's like, ugh.
And it's like that kind of like two sides of like this really shitty coin where like these nice guys on one hand, they're like shaming girls for sex, but then also pressuring them for sex.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just like this weird mixed message that's really like desperate and like just this bad energy that you don't want to be part of.
It's prevalent as well. It's much more pervasive than people realize. That energy, you know, that's the thing. Like that is so, that, you know, the thing is that guys think that women have a lot of choice, but they don't, because that, a lot of guys are chasing them. But then there's only so many guys. There's like a handful of guys that get that. Yeah. So when they see that, it's like moth to a flame. It's like, oh, finally, right? Finally I can be myself. Finally I don't have all this pressure. Especially attractive women. They don't have that at all. It's always like, I'm a good girl. No, I'm not.
Yeah, yeah. It's the attractive women, they have a lot of choice of guys who pedestalize. Yeah. They have a lot of choice of unattractive guys who they're not interested at all. And it's this huge dilemma for women. Like, feminism hasn't helped
them. They
just
don't see them, do they? They just don't even, like, well,
it's the same
acknowledge them.
Like, I mean, it's kind of what you acknowledge in your RAS, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I mean, I don't really notice ugly women. I don't really notice fat women that much. I just kind of walk by. I don't pay them any attention. Same thing with a girl and, like, a nice guy. Like, the guy who's, like, messaging her, like, these beta little, like, supplicating messages, like, how are you? Did you eat? Blah, blah, blah. Like, I miss you. Good morning. Like, it just gets filtered out of our RAS because it's not seen as value.
Yeah, exactly.
Women, I mean, they care about, like, survival and replication value. Like, can you protect her? Do you have good genes? Are you successful in the world? Do you have the qualities that make for a successful guy? Like, even if you're not, like, don't have a lot of status and money, do you have the qualities that generally go with status and money? Things like problem solving, assertiveness, things of that nature. But going back to, like, the secret society stuff, I guess, have you ever, like, met a girl and been surprised recently, or?
Nah, not recently. Nothing surprised me
at all.
No, not really.
Really?
I had so many awakening moments to this that now it's like...
Well, tell us one of your awakening moments.
Okay, let me try and think of one. So basically let me think about a specific girl. Let me just try and think of one specific moment. So there was another Swedish girl I was dating, and she was like, she started doing, I think it was jiu-jitsu, and she was telling me that how it would turn her on, that she could get choked. That was one. I dated a girl that used to want me to shove her head down the toilet.
I've never heard of that before.
Yeah. And she used to be like, I just want to be raped. I just want to be raped.
Yeah, the girl I'm with right now is like really into that.
And I used to be like, how can I set this up? Like, but it's not. Then how can I, you know, I used to be very sort of, oh, I don't want to do that. But I didn't get it at the time. I didn't get what she really meant. Obviously, she doesn't want to be walking down an alley and that to happen.
Yeah, like, she wants to be dominated. She wants to feel that masculine energy.
And then, but different women experience that to different degrees, you know, obviously. But then the awakening moments would be just in little moments when having a stronger frame, teasing women, you notice it, you know, like, or literally just going up and within a first couple of seconds pretending to strangle them.
Yeah.
Like that, and holding eye contact and smiling. Don't do that, by the way. I don't want any like fucking lawsuits, No. But then strangle open.
Well, I remember like the girl I dated for 7 years before I got in the game, at one point, like in the horrible breakup, she mentioned like she this is after we'd broken up, gotten back together, so obviously she'd been fucking other guys, but she's like, oh, I just like to be pushed up against the wall and fucked.
Yeah.
And at the time, but the thing is, it's not an action, right? She doesn't want that from just any guy. She wants the sort of guy who gets it. It's more about like the type of guy who does that rather than the action itself.
Yeah.
So it's so hard to describe. And at the time, I didn't understand it. I was just like, how does that work? Like, you want me to, like, do what? And I would like even try it and like, or even try to be more aggressive. And she just wasn't into it because I wasn't that sort of guy at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really like, are you the sort of like aggressive alpha dominant male who does that with women? I guess in terms of the things that like have surprised me recently, kind of the same, but it's just always like, you know, you get humbled occasionally with like, you don't expect it and then it happens. Like,
That's the thing. That's a good point. Like, you get comfortable and you're like, okay, she's just sort of likes this. Mm. And then out of nowhere, you're like, oh, fuck, she's a freak.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, I've got to step it up. And then you start forcing it and she can tell you're forcing it. And that's, oh, fuck. It's like better just to gauge it very early and then calibrate from there rather than try and do it later on in a relationship because...
Well, I would say always pushing the envelope.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Really good. I just recorded a video about this too, like why you always have to be, where you got to be that guy where you have to like push her boundaries because you don't know where her boundaries are.
Yeah.
Like her boundaries could be all the way fucking out there, like, you know, getting rammed up the ass by like fucking four dude. That could be her boundary.
Yeah.
Like her boundary could be getting gangbanged by like four fucking dudes and you think it's getting choked.
Yeah.
And
then
so you're like delicately fucking choking her. And in the back of her mind, she's like, God, I just wish there were three other dudes plowing me in the fucking face right now.
Yeah.
So you don't know where it's at. So you gotta just push as far as you can. And then that way you become the guy. I guess, but another one of the things that we were talking about, like getting surprised, this is a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, this girl I dated, but I was at the park. And I was actually outside of the park, and I saw this girl walking by, and I was like, damn, that ass. This is Vietnam, right? You notice a nice ass.
Right. Yeah.
So I, like, fucking went to the park, and I waited for her to walk back by, and I approached her. And as soon as I approached, I was like, oh, fuck, this girl looks like she's, like, 16, like, baby face. Short baby face. And quickly found out that she was actually 20, so I was like, yes. And went on a date took her home, and this girl ended up being like a fucking nymphomaniac. This girl was tiny, right? She was like I don't know, like 5'3", maybe 45 kilos. Tiny. Looked young. But then like just loved fucking doing whatever. Like getting choked, getting fucking smacked around, like getting picked up, tossed around, and just loved it. Like could never get enough. But looking at her, if she was just walking around, you'd be like, oh my God, this girl is so like young and sweet and innocent. Not the case at all. And that's the same thing with most girls. Like most girls, the point of this podcast being like most girls have that wild side that they're not revealing to the world in order to protect their image.
Yeah.
Every girl has that. Some girls have like suppressed it, but and some girls haven't. Some girls are just fucking hoes and they just fucking, you know, uninhibited. Obviously you want like balance is good, you know, but
it's important to go into any sort of interaction with that in mind rather than going in being like, you know, you don't want to have that naive world view. I think that's the thing is, it's just if you have that, you're gonna get so blown around by life, like how it is and versus what it actually, how you think it is just so far apart. And if you go in naively believing that, and then you get caught out and it keeps happening, like, I don't want to admit that women are like this, you know, that's going to fuck you. Like, that's just seriously, you don't want to know it's going to be fucked.
Yeah, well, it's going to fuck up your chances because you're going to get with girls and you're going to disappoint them. Quite frankly, like in bed, you're going to disappoint them. And they, you know, maybe they love you enough that they stick with you and they just accept shitty sex.
Well, then they start beating you. So they'll start poison dripping you, you know, like, and they'll start putting you down because they resent you secretly for not doing that, not stepping up. It's a classic nice guy.
And the most likely scenario, she just cheats on you. She fucks other guys and doesn't say anything to you and keeps on dating you. And it just becomes her kind of release. And I guess, you know, I guess that could continue on. It depends on the girl. Like, a lot of girls are very emotional. They won't do that. They'll want to, like, sleep with a guy they're in love with. So if they cheat on you, they'll want to leave you for that guy. Other girls will just stay in the marriage or stay in the relationship, still fuck the other dude, and it'll just be, like, her release. You don't know any better. You don't know the difference, but in reality, you're getting kind of cupped. Yeah. I guess, you know, I mean, but I get, if that works for some people, that works for some people. It wouldn't want to be the sort of relationship that I would want to be in. But,
No, you don't want to be living in fear that you, if you, like, don't, like, play to her image of you or whatever. If you let yourself slip a little bit, she's instantly going to go fuck some other dude.
So the lesson of this podcast is, tomorrow night you have to shit on some girl's chest.
Yeah, and you gotta be a fucking psycho.
You gotta be a complete psychopath.
Yeah.
Anything else? We're about at the 27-minute mark. Secret lives of women.
Well, it's like, let's just, I would say, like, to summarize, you gotta be very. Don't try and paint the world as how you want it to look. You know, this is definitely a philosophy that I've had to really embody because life will teach you some harsh lessons if you don't embody this, and that's the way it is. And the more you can deny it, the more you go out, but you have to have it in a positive light. This is how things are because it will make you a better man. If you understand what we're saying here and actually enjoy those fantasies, but they're just fantasies. So it's more of the relationship and our imagination around it rather than the actual act itself. It's the anticipation that she likes.
Yes, the
emotion. She doesn't even like your relationship. She likes the idea of the relationship. She likes she likes to tell people about it. She likes to put it on Instagram or whatever fuck, I don't know. But it's more about the relationship or the sort of story she has in her head than the actual relationship. So that's a big deal. And when you get that, you can go out and you can meet women and you can very quickly build attraction because like we said earlier, you're going to be different to the other guys. You're going to be the guys that get it. And that's refreshing. You're doing her a big, big service that way. So, yeah.
Cool. Well, we'll cut this short. As always, like, subscribe, leave a comment. Check out 8weekstochad.com. We have the Assertiveness Master Course or Master Class coming up soon. Basically 8 challenges to take you from Trump to Chad to make you go from like nice guy, beta, supplicating, afraid of women to somebody who can like sexually dominate, to can be that sort of guy that women have secret stories about. That's what you want to do. All right, anything else?
That's it, man.
All right, peace.